You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
Welcome back to The Griot Daily. If you were listening to last episode, we were talking about South Carolina, and our theme for this Black History Month is that the capital of Black America is in South Carolina. And we're going to continue with that theme because that was kind of like the origin story for a lot of the things that we're going to talk about today. For instance, today we're going to talk about, critical race theory. Let's talk about critical race theory. That's a good idea. And how critical race theory became a thing.
Critical race theory.
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 Well, again, and I'm not just saying this because it's our thing, but to understand that, you need to go back to what we talked about in last episode, and you have to focus on South Carolina. And here's why. So remember that thing we said about absolute power and authority and the Negro Act of 1740? Again, when we were talking about the Stonewall Rebellion, one of the reasons that it caused the Negro Act of 1740 and the provisions in it was because Jimmy, the organizer or the supposed organizer of the Stonewall Rebellion, could read. So the Negro Act of 1740 forbade slaves or enslaved people from reading and writing, among other things. It's like regulated what colors they could wear. They had to wear white, stuff that was white. They could not assemble in groups of two or more. They had to have like these things called freedom passes if they were ever caught off their plantation. But that reading and writing thing, man, that was really, really scary, right? And that is why the Negro Act of 1740 banned slaves from reading and writing. And then all the other states that had enslaved people, they kind of just basically copied that template because they were really afraid of these rebellion. And you have to remember, see, this is important, that South Carolina imported more people before the Civil War than all of the colonies combined, right? So South Carolina was a majority Black state. And just think about what would happen if all of those enslaved people rebelled at once. Well, the only way they could communicate with each other was reading and writing. So reading and writing was really bad. And all of the other states understood that because they used South Carolina as the example, like, man, look at what happened during that Stonewall Rebellion. Well, reading and writing really became a thing that prevented, like the symbol of the thing that could keep people subjugated and oppressed, right? So we're going to even skip past, you know, Denmark Vesey and his so-called conspiracy. We're going to skip past Forrest Joe. We're going to talk about the Civil War. See, when the Civil War came about, right, South Carolina was, again, the first state to secede. They really wanted to create this white supremacist confederacy that enshrined the control, absolute power and authority forever. So they, in their articles of secession, they said slavery like 18 times, right? They mentioned slavery. It was not about taxes. It was not about, you know, states' rights or whatever people say. It was all about slavery. And after the Civil War, after the white people got their asses kicked, well, let's go to during the Civil War, right? So during the Civil War in South Carolina, the Confederacy was flailing. They were losing. And so the Union sent this woman down to help as a nurse, right? And as a scout. And, you know, they knew that she knew, like, some of the routes. And she also served as a spy. And, you know, she was like a one-man Swiss Army knife, or one woman in this case. And so she worked with the general over the entire Southern troops. And she convinced them. She was like, man, you know what? Like, we would probably kick their ass a lot quicker if we just started freeing the enslaved people. And so this general was like, man, you know what? That's a good idea. And so he just told all his troops, like, look, if you come across some enslaved people, just free them. Now, that made Abraham Lincoln real angry. So angry that he, like, relocated the general. But he couldn't do anything with the woman because, like, it wasn't like she was getting paid. She was volunteering, right? She would sell pies. She would make pies to pay for food and serve as a nurse. But, you know, she was, a lot of people liked her because she was kind of like a semi-celebrity. Her name was Harriet Tubman. So, you know, she was really beloved. So when those enslaved people set themselves free, because Abraham Lincoln did not want to unenslave the people, so they unenslaved themselves. Those people would go to, you know, the nearest plantation and set more people free. And all those people, they didn't leave. They stayed, a lot of them, in South Carolina. So after the Civil War, what happened was all of those enslaved people were the majority. And of course, the 13th Amendment didn't just unenslave them, but they became citizens. And they became citizens with the right to vote. And so these black people, these people who freed themselves, control the state political apparatus. And remember, after the Civil War, because these people had seceded, the states had seceded, they had to create a whole new constitution. They had to be accepted back into America. But now black people were the majority. So when they wrote these state constitutions, black people sent black delegates to the South Carolina Constitution. And these black delegates, the delegation which was majority black, they did something that white people were fearing for the entire Civil War. First of all, they expanded voting rights. You didn't have to have property. You, as long as you were over a certain age, you could just vote, man. And that was crazy because all of these black people started voting. And in South Carolina and Mississippi and other states, the black voter participation rate was 90%, right? So one of the things that they did was they created this land commission that actually took the land that the enslavers, the traders, had owned, and they distributed it amongst freedmen. But they also did one other thing. Those black delegates came together because, you know, to be honest, they didn't just do it for black people. They did it for everybody because in the South, like, white people were very uneducated. Like, South Carolina had one of the highest illiteracy rates in the country, and the South was way more illiterate, even the white people, than the rest of the country. And the black delegation noticed this. So they used that template from those Carolina constitutions that gave them the whites absolute power and authority. And they created the one thing that would last. Those black delegates from South Carolina in that 1868 South Carolina Constitution created America's first constitutionally guaranteed public education system. Now every state has one, and it's like basically a constitutional right. But if you ever attended a public school, you can thank South Carolina's black voters and that black delegation for creating guaranteed public education. And they created some of the country's first HBCUs because they took what was called these land grants and created, you know, they knew that South Carolina still had segregation. So they created HBCUs. And that was really upsetting to the whites in South Carolina. And so they began to recreate this version of history where the people who started the Civil War were brave, they were heroes, they were fighting for states' rights, and that movement was called the Lost Cause. And that movement eventually became the anti-critical race theory. And we're going to talk about that on the next episode. And the only way you can see the next episode is by subscribing to this podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on. You got to download that Griot app and you got to tell a friend about it. And as always, we leave you with a black saying. And today's saying is, if you don't know it, then how can you teach it? If you liked what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcasts@thegriot.com.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
I'm political scientist, author, and professor, Dr. Christina Greer, and I'm host of The Blackest Questions on The Griot's Black Podcast Network. This person invented ranch dressing around 1950. Who are they?
I have no idea.
This all began as an exclusive Black History trivia party at my home in Harlem with family and friends. And they got so popular, it seemed only right to share the fun with our Griot listeners. Each week, we invite a familiar face on the podcast to play. What was the name of the person who was an enslaved chief cook for George Washington and later ran away to freedom? In 1868, this university was the first in the country to open a medical school that welcomed medical students of all races, genders, and social classes. What university was it?
No, this is why I like doing stuff with you, because I leave educated. I was not taught this in Alabama public schools.
Question number three, you ready?
Yes, let me try to redeem myself.
How did we go from Kwanzaa to like these obscure...
We got a sport, darling.
This is like the New York Times crossword from a Monday to a Saturday.
Right or wrong, because all we care about is the journey and having some fun while we do it.
I'm excited and also a little nervous.
Oh, listen, no need to be nervous. And as I tell all of my guests, this is an opportunity for us to educate ourselves, because Black history is American history. So we're just going to have some fun. Listen, some people get 0 out of 5. Some people get 5 out of 5. It doesn't matter. We're just going to be on a little intellectual journey together.
LaToya Cantrell?
That's right. Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
Hercules Posey.
Born in 1754, and he was a member of the Mount Vernon slave community, widely admired for his culinary skills.
I'm going to guess Afropunk.
Close. It's okay. Afro Nation. So last year, according to my research, it's Samuel Wilson, a.k.a. Falcon.
Wrong. Wrong. I am disputing this.
I'm very 99.9999 sure that it is Representative John Lewis, who is also from the state of Alabama. That lets you know, Christina, we got some goodness come out of Alabama.
There is something in the water in Alabama, and you are absolutely correct.
The harder they come.
Close.
Oh, wait. The harder they fall?
That's right. I'm one of those people that just changes one word.
I mean, I know this song too well.
I just don't know nothing today.
It's
I'm going to pour myself a little water while you tell me the answer.
The answer is Seneca Village, which began in 1825 with the purchase of land by a trustee of the AME Zion Church.
You know why games like this make me nervous? I don't know if I know enough black. Do I know enough? How black am I? Oh, my Lord. We gonna find out in public.
So give us a follow, subscribe, and join us on The Blackest Questions.